if you could build a business in the modern world as big or as small as you want without having to compromise the things that were the most important to you in the very beginning? This is the Wealthy Consultant Talks podcast with Taylor Welch and Mike Walker, as they share with you today their learning lessons from stories in their experiences over the past 10 to 15 years and share with you right here, right now. Let's get into it.
All right. What is going on, my friends? Mike Walker here with you. Another episode of TWC Talks podcast. And I've got a good one for you guys today. I've got my buddy Vardy with me. Vardy, what the heck is going on, man? Excited to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, man. It's just been going crazy. It's so fun. Super excited to be on this podcast.
Sweet, man. Sweet. Well, you're always like a great source of energy and good vibes in our communities. We'll get to that here in a little while. But first, give us a little snapshot, man. Introduce yourself. Where are you from? What's your story? Give us the Reader's Digest version here.
Yeah, I'm from Montreal, Canada. So up north. I've been a music producer for a big part of my life. I've been doing it professionally for the last 10 years. As a professional producer, I was fortunate enough to be able to get to a point where I started living out of my passion, just being a professional producer, a studio expert. I've toured, I've played massive shows as an artist, been involved with big labels, and it's all been an amazing journey. I'm at a phase in my life right now where my business has moved from providing services in studio for producers to helping them produce better music. And through that process, I started building a coaching program where I help producers get to from point A to point B being them being professionals, so they can eventually monetize and live off of what they love, right? So that's where I am right now, just growing the business. It's been 3.5 years about. I'm fully launched in 100%. So I'm an early business, you call it. So yeah, It's been amazing.
Well, you survived year one. If you survive year one, then it means you earn the rights to year twos and three. Once you get past year five, it's like, okay, now you're for real, for real. And once you get past 10, you're like, dang, okay, you're a real business now, man. So you got time in the game, but still a long way to go. And I have no doubt, guys, one of my favorite things about Vardy is just that he is an absolute implementer of the craft. He listens, he applies, he does the work, he tracks, he measures, he appreciates the data, uses the data and all those things. And again, we'll kind of get into that. But Vardy, you said something I want to circle back on because I think it would resonate with a lot of people. And you said, you know, I was able to turn my passion into your business and you made it your entire life. Talk to us a little bit about that, because as obvious of a thing as that sounds real cool and like everybody would love that, right? Just turn what I love doing into my job. I think you above, you know, everybody else would know like that's not necessarily easy. And to keep it being something that you love, I think is also worthy of discussion here, right? Like, yeah, okay, cool. So you turned your hobby and your passion into a paycheck. Awesome. But how do you keep loving it when all of a sudden you embrace and adopt all these complexities that happen when you're trying to grow like a legit business, right? There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of complexity that comes into the system. So talk about that a little bit. How was that journey for you so far?
Yeah, I got into it about 10 years ago. I was doing music part-time like a lot of musicians or producers. And I got to a point where I did everything I was told from my parents because there were immigrants coming into Canada, fleeing war. We're very well off. Inflation back in the country we're from completely killed our wealth. I was born in Canada, so my parents have seen a lot of money and no money. And my dad always told me, like, whatever you're going to do, be amazing at it. That's the only thing that matters. So put everything behind what you got to make sure you're great at it. So I followed a lot of his advice in terms of going to school, I have a science degree, actually. I got into operations and I moved on to sales. I was in the corporate world as director of sales. I was managing $30 million in sales. In the retail side of things, I was making more money than I could spend. I know in the business community, that's not a lot of money, but just in general, where I was at a young age, making so much money and just doing everything I was told to do, I saw success and I was like, is this it? Like, I am so not happy where I am. And deep down, I knew music was a big part of my life. And everywhere I looked, I didn't have the support system in terms of like any successful musician around me that could actually guide me through the process. So I said, enough's enough. This corporate world thing is not working for me. When I say corporate, like I was working in sales and I was not doing music. That's what I mean by not being in corporate world. So I told myself, if I'm so good at doing something I don't care much about, how amazing can I be in something I'm highly passionate about? And for me, that thought process stuck with me forever. And it gave me the resilience of going through the hardest of times, going from not making any income in music to touring the world and making a living off music. I really kind of went through against all the odds through the process. One thing that stuck with me is my dad telling me, whatever you're going to do, be the best at it. And that brought me a lot of resilience to the process of all the rejections I've gone through to make sure that I'm always moving forward and building up. And I'm trying to use a lot of those lessons in the business world. It's a completely different beast. As much as the artistry side of things was a business, the business of coaching is very, very different. It's at different levels that I'm playing the game. And that's been my story for the last about 10 years, leaving the corporate world, jumping into music, becoming a full-on professional in it, finding ways to monetize, and now teaching people how to become professionals. So it's been an awesome journey. And it's just a start. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, man. Well, what a story. That's amazing. That's the thing, right? Is like, again, kind of circling up on this topic of turning your passion into your vision and your life's purpose, your paycheck, everything else. What have you found? What have you leaned on as you've been experiencing, you know, the inevitable hurdles, the roadblocks along the way, those moments, those nights of doubt where you're like, man, what am I doing? I literally just left the stability and, you know, quote unquote safety of a paycheck in the corporate sector to now you're essentially out on your own, you know, make it or die scenario, right? As an entrepreneur, what was that like? Because I think a lot of people only see the shiny, cool looking things of the entrepreneur life. They don't necessarily see all the, like I said, those late nights and you know, self-doubt that can creep in. So what have you found to help overcome those times while you've been making that journey?
I would say reminding myself of finding success in something I didn't give a shit about and continuing that down that path was not a life that I wanted to live. So as much as people around me were saying like, yeah, hey, Vardy, you resigned and you're like, now you're doing your music. It's very like aspirational, but you always have a plan B. I'm like, no, I don't have a plan B. I don't care how much experience I have in sales. I don't care how much experience I have like with my degree or just in the corporate world. That's not a plan B I'm willing to accept. And I believe that resolve, that decision that I took daily, because daily there's things pushing you to want to quit, especially as being an artist trying to like share some of who you are to the world and just getting rejected left, right, center. It was just a
pretty vulnerable situation to be in.
100%. It's one of the most scariest things to release music and have. It's like you're naked, you know. It's because it's such an abstract part of your psyche and who you are, which you cannot put words to. So for me, it was just that, like, I don't have an option B. Like, just being able to work and make money, that's not an option B. That's not life. That's not the life I want to live, right? So that's not a plan B. I have no plan B. It's a plan A, and that's the only thing that's going to happen. No matter how it's going to work out, it's going to work out one way or another. And there's a lot of walking into it. There is a lot of uncertainty. There is insane amount of, I don't even know if this is going to work out. But I feel like reminding myself daily of, like, this is going to work out one way or another if you don't stop. That's what I kept on reminding myself of on a daily basis. Whenever I felt like I was like, oh, I'm going to quit, I'm going crazy. And that kept me in the game. And it just got me to a point where I was really good at what I was doing. And I got recognized. I was not ignored anymore. I got a management team. I got a booking agent. I started touring. I started seeing money. And things slowly stabilized through time.
Amazing. So you've really followed your heart and passions in two different ways. I mean, in the same direction, but in two different phases, I guess we'd say, right? You went from corporate sector to, like you said, the music sector. Well, the music sector, now you've transitioned into helping people in the industry and turned that into a job. So what was it that made you say, okay, you know, the music is cool, but I want to actually help people in their music careers? What was it that was the catalyst for that change? Because that's a pretty big jump as well.
Yeah, I was just sick of, more functionally, I would say there's two answers to this, like the functionally and like kind of on a mental level. Functionally, I was a mixing and mastering engineer where producers used to send me music and I used to make their music sound professional. I was running a studio business. It was a service, right? A lot of producers, if not a majority of them, were sending music that were subpar and they're expecting my mixing and mastering to make their music sound professional. So a lot of times I was finding myself going back to them saying like, hey, your track is never going to sound amazing because you have fundamental issues in the production. So it's finding myself teaching through the process. And I said, enough's enough. I need to teach these people how to produce professional music. That's what got in, like how the naturally kind of the business led me to that, to wanting to teach versus provide the mixing and mastering service. On a more philosophical or kind of vision-driven level, I was sick and tired of hearing low-level thinking in the world of production community, where producers always say, well, you got to be lucky to make it. The industry is saturated. Luck, saturation, all this stuff. I'm like, that's all bullshit. There's saturation everywhere. There's, you know what I mean? By the time you usually hear of something, most of the time it's like you're late at it. There's like 50 people before you're doing it, right? So it's way more than that. It's your belief system. It's what you believe about yourself. And it's not easy. Finding the vision through helping these people move from a life where I actually was in their shoes, right? To moving out of that state and being in a situation where they can live off what they do, being able to be that person to help them go through that, for me was like way, way more powerful than just writing music. I still write music, a lot of music. I get signed to labels, but my passion changed to that because of that vision-driven goal of like the world of musicians and the artistry, like so much needs to change and have a big calling for it.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, it makes a difference when you have that mission behind it. In fact, I just recently wrote an article on the power of a mission statement. And now, I mean, you talk about mission statement to most people, and they're like, oh yeah, I've heard about that, or I have one or whatever. But if you really press business owners, you know, hey, what is your mission? And is it clearly articulated and documented in a way that you can use it as like a guiding, you know, force, or like as a navigational tool? It's kind of an aspect of business that a lot of people skip out on or kind of just breeze past. So that's a different topic for a different day. But the idea here, though, is that you've made these transitional changes in your life and in your career. How was it, you know, that you came into the ecosystem here at TWC? Like, describe that bit of your journey as well.
Yeah. So I was part of Taylor's older program with his older company. I did some of his programs and I learned all about high ticket through that process. So instead of being that, you know, producer that charges $60 an hour or 100 like everyone else does in my industry, right? I was like, oh, I could package this in a way where my offer could deliver, we could focus on the results, it could deliver immense amount of value, and then we could charge proper amounts for this transformation. That led me to eventually exiting that company, and also changes were happening in the company, and I was following Taylor through his podcast, and I came across The Wealthy Consultant. When I first got introduced more seriously and I hopped on a call with Peyton, like my business wasn't at a point to join. So my entry point at that point was LaunchKit. And for me, it's like, I've been following Taylor for so long that him and his educators. So all that led me to a natural decision to like, I need to grow more. I need to go to the next level. I need more of his help and his educator's help. So for me, it was like very straightforward. I always knew I was going to join. It was just about like, is there a program for me? And then LaunchKit was launched and I was in right away.
Nice. Well, and you've been, like I said earlier in our call, like a perfect example of what it means to come into the community and actually apply, like do the work. You know, there's so many people that are looking for a quick fix, or they get that quick dopamine hit of, you know, onboarding or enrolling in a course or buying a product or whatever, but then they never actually like follow through. And you've always been, you know, someone who's just not been scared to go through and do the hard work. I think your expectations of reality are very much in alignment with what it takes to be successful out in the marketplace. And like, you can have the best product or service in the world, but it's not the market's responsibility to know who you are. Like, that's our job, right? That's what we as entrepreneurs have to do and take responsibility for, is putting ourselves out into the marketplace consistently enough, long enough, in order for our message to find signal amongst the noise, and then to be picked up by an audience that can appreciate it. And we can build that know, like, trust value that we always talk about. Now that you've built your business up to the point where moving up into the chamber environment, our highest tier of consultancy, what has been, you know, for someone who's like maybe not even very aware of what chamber is or anything, what's your take on the entire community and everything that we have going on there, the events, the calls, everything? What do you think somebody that doesn't know what it's like in there would benefit from knowing about it.
From my experience joining Chamber, there was a bit of a learning curve on my end, and that required, and that's good because I felt like I needed to show up better. And a lot of times, by the way, like kind of a side note, which kind of you brought up before, every time I've joined programs, like I never think that it's a golden ticket, or I'm like, I'm nervous joining the program because I know it's all on me. No matter how much coaching I have, I'm going to get so much out of my comfort zone, and to do follow your advice, it's not going to be easy. So, and that's been amazing experiences for me. So, but joining Chamber has been, at first it was an adjustment period personally for me to get a sense of like, how am I going to use this to my advantage? In a sense that how, like, for example, like you always say, like, what problem are we solving? Just such a simple question, which we always forget because we're dealing with so much. Just approaching everything with like, what problem are we solving, has taught me so much and has made the ability of asking questions in the environment much more fruitful. It's an amazing community with so many experts that aside from the educators, you, Taylor, everyone else, like everyone in the room has so much expertise in their respective field, which makes it an amazing environment because sometimes questions come up from business owners where other people jump in and have more insight than you guys might, which is an amazing environment because it's not just, you know, the teacher teaching. It's full on,
yep,
full on mastermind. Everyone has value in that team. And that's what makes it so powerful. It's not just a few brains. It's like multiple brains together trying to find the best solutions for everyone. So that's the best way I could explain the experience for me so far. And it's been very amazing. And it feels like a family too. The more the months go by and the more I get to connect with people and get to know people, there's a genuine connection amongst relationships that I'm building. And I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, 100%, man. I think there's a, I don't know, maybe it was just me growing up, you know, as a younger entrepreneur, and just, I kind of had this vibe of like, well, if I'm going to, if it's going to get done, I'm going to do it, and kind of being a soloist and just move fast, right? How's that saying go? You know, if you want to move fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with a team, right? And so I was always kind of erring on the side of like, just go fast, get it done, knock it out. And yet there's so many limiting factors that come with that and blind spots, you know? And so having the exposure to a group with other people, other experiences, backgrounds, yep, et cetera. You know, even one of my favorite things, bro, is like the cross-pollinization of ideas where somebody is doing something or has a certain approach in their industry, in their vertical, and you can take that concept, tweak it around a little bit, and then drop it into your own, a completely separate, different environment, different client base, you know, the whole bit, and it can light it up. You know, it's a truly interesting environment where you can kind of cross-pollinate ideas. I call it the mind hive for that. It's a fun place to be. But anyway, I want to circle back on more on you, man. What is the journey look like ahead? I mean, we're now just about to enter, at the time of this recording, we're just about to enter into Q2 of 2024. What's the next, 90, 120 days look like for Vardy and your business? What are you up to?
I'm in a process of, I've been thinking a lot about this actually, in terms of the goals I set at the beginning of the year and where we are 3 months in and what the next quarter looks like. And a lot of it's going to be team-based in terms of spending more time passing on absolutely everything I know with every single member of the team. I have VAs. I'm looking to get some, maybe start off with an SDR and help me on the sales front, eventually get an account executive, and being able to invest so much time in the next 3 months on these humans so they could learn as much as possible from my experiences. I feel like it's the best form of, it's education at a much higher level in terms of like, I'm not now not only helping producers, I'm helping leaders help producers. I feel like that's where I would shine the most as well. So my next, I would say 3 to 6 months, is investing energy in the team and growing the business with proper foundations in the team itself. That's my single focused approach for now.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I was going to say too. I see that, you know, you're just in the last few months, the quality of your thinking processes, how you're approaching each different problem that comes up along the way, solving for it, moving sequentially instead of feeling like, oh, I've got to handle all these different things, right? Like you're not allowing the multitude of things that inevitably I have to get done. You know, I think that's kind of the sign of a mature entrepreneur is when they can process information and ask high quality questions in intense time pressure environments. They don't let the urgency overpower the priorities. And I've seen that happen over the last few months, and it's only beginning progressively more and more. And you can tell like your caliber as an entrepreneur is increasing like literally by the day. So it's just been really, really cool to watch and be a part of working with you, man. So
thanks, man.
In wrapping up, again, just want to say, Vardy, thanks for jumping on with me, man. It's cool to be able to jam with some of our clients inside Chamber. We don't always get to do it. So when we have the opportunity to break away and get together, it's really, really cool. When are you coming to the next event, man? We've got all kinds of cool events this year. When are you going to be able to join us, one of our in-persons?
April, for sure. Bought my ticket, flying out. It's going to be awesome. And it's exactly a topic that suits where I'm in my business in terms of SDRs and the whole sales approach. Yeah, yep. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, again, join us on another episode of TWC Talks, whether we'll be talking just me and Taylor, or like today with one of our valued VIP clients. Just know that we're constantly digging into everything out there in terms of marketing, sales, the mental element of the entrepreneurial experience and everything in between and bringing you value here. So thanks for joining us. Vardy, thank you again, man. Appreciate you. And we'll be in your corner 100% and looking forward to seeing you in April.
Thanks a lot, man. It's been awesome.
All right, guys. All right, cool. Have a good one, guys. We'll see you on the next episode.